come out of Easter and as we've come out of the resurrection, as we've come out of the power of that and what the cross showed to us and what the cross showed to those back then, and what the tomb showed to them and now this tomb showed to us, and we've gone through this whole process of Easter, the resurrection Sunday, and it's been a wonderful time. It's been a good week. We come out, and I want to get into the time of what, because of that and prior to that, but Jesus gave authority to the disciples. And in that same authority that he gave to the disciples, he too has given it to who else? Us. I hope you receive that. I hope you claim that. I hope you move in that authority of Jesus and not your authority, because your authority is that. You know? So it's not to say, look at who I am. It's to say, look at who I am in. Look at who I am through me, you know. I'm just here. Woo! I'm just the clay. He's the potter, amen. That's what I sang there at the Riverview Heights. I said, hey, ladies, we're just clay on a wheel, and the Lord has just taken us and molding us and putting us the way he wants us. And when we make a mistake, if he needs to, he'll just splat you back down and start all over, because God is a God that does not give up on you. And so we have that authority as we look at what God did through his son, Jesus Christ, and what Jesus did with his disciples. And now as he is at the right hand of God the Father interceding, I want to share a message or a story here of the first miracle that the disciples did after Jesus ascended. You know, we know that the 70 went out and they were doing great and fantastic things, I believe, when Jesus was alive. But now Jesus is dead, he's gone, he's not in their midst. And so we're looking into Acts here. And in that area of Acts, we know in chapter 2, we talk about, you know, coming of the Holy Spirit. The coming of the Holy Spirit. And we come out of that, and I'm not going to share a lot on that right now, but we know that it's through the Holy Spirit, as Jesus said, that he must go. And we know that when they were in that upper room, you will read through chapter 2 of Acts, and that coming of the Holy Spirit, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven. And I believe today, in 2016, April 3rd or 4th, whatever day we're in, that sound from heaven can come again, and it will come again. But I want to go through, and I'm going to jump into probably chapter 3. Chapter 3 is where Peter and John, now they've gone out from that, and they went to the temple. But let's see here. Where we are just a few weeks out of Easter, I've just shared that. In our dealings with Satan, it is very important to know and to understand that we have been given power over him. We have power over Satan. Satan thinks he has power over us, but in your natural he does, but in your spiritual and ability of building up the things that God has put in you, and you turn it over to God, let God do your battles. But we have that power. The power is not from us, but from whom is in us, and whose name we use to deal with adversities, whether it's Satan, or adversities of illness, or adversities of finance, whatever the case might be, we go through these things. Jesus has given us power when we pray. Do you believe that you have power when you pray? That's the first thing you've got to understand, is you've got the power when you pray. You cannot pray timid prayers. You can't be backed into a corner and keep your head down. And remember how we had shared sometime back this last year about entering the boldness. With boldness come to the throne of grace of God. And that's the way we've got to be. But we've got to know that our prayers cannot be timid. They've got to be powerful. You've got to speak it like you know that it's going to happen. Amen. So, Jesus has given us the power when we pray. He has given us what we would call the power of attorney. A power of attorney. A power of attorney. Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. I don't know what I'm trying to say. Eternity. I was like, power of eternity. The power of attorney. In this one dynamic that I read in my Bible. And it rephrased it to the point of it's like we have been given that power of attorney. But what is it when you get a power of attorney? You know, it's a legal instrument that authorizes one to act as the attorney or the agent of the grantor. Yeah. Woo! Well, who's the grantor that we're talking about here? Jesus! So we have been given that authority. We have been given that authorization through him. The grantor is to consent or to carry out for a person. We are to still be here today carrying out the things that Jesus wants us to do, and we're going to do it in his name. To carry out, to permit as a right. We've got a right. As children of God, as Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. I have got a right, kind of like when TJ was talking a little bit about being grafted in. You know, we've been grafted into this. We've been adopted into this. We have come into just a tremendous thing if we receive it. And we receive it in the right way. And we receive it to the point where we say, I've received it and it is power for today as much as it was for power back then. We have got to continue to know that this power is evident for today. It didn't go away when the apostles and all of them died. It is for today. Because if that's the case, then everything that we're doing is for naught. It's like, well, it's just, nothing's worth it then. We just live through this life and have misery, pain, and suffering, and sorrow, and whatever happens is going to happen. No, we don't do that. We live with the power that Jesus has given us. And it all came, and as we looked at the death, and we're going to look at that first, the miracle that they performed after Jesus was no longer with them. But the grantor, to carry out, a person is to carry out, permitted as a right or a privilege or a favor. Amen. Well, we are the agent. We are the one that we've been granted that to. In the book of Acts chapter 3, we have Peter and John going up to the temple during the hour of prayer. They prayed about three times a day, and there's, now it's about the third, or what is it, the ninth hour, it says, which is about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So, Acts 3. Now, Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask or to beg alms from those who entered the temple. You know, well, if nothing else, you know, I can get money and help me live and things, I'll just beg for alms and beg for these things or ask for them. And this man was probably in his early 40s to thereabouts. You would find that as you get into chapter 4, I believe. Who to ask alms from those who entered the temple. So, he's there. Peter and John are about to go into the temple. And guess what? The man asked them for alms. And fixing his eyes on him, the beggar is now fixing his eyes on Peter. With John and Peter said, look at us. And so he gave them his attention. He's expecting to receive something from them in verse 5. Verse 6 says, then Peter says this, silver and gold I do not have. It's really what the guy was wanting. He was wanting provisions. He was wanting money, something to have to help him. But what I do have, I give you. Wow. I don't have silver and gold, but what I do have, I will give you. Now, could you imagine what this guy's thinking? Like, well, you don't have silver and gold. What are you going to give me? You know? Then he says this, and this is the power of it. This is the power of it as Peter is speaking this out. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, do what? Rise up and walk. This man was lame. This man has been sitting there. This man has been lame since the birth for 40 some out years plus, 42, 43, 44 years. This all this man knew was he was lame. But in that time, in that conversation, Peter says, I don't have silver and gold, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. That was the first miracle or healing from the disciples after Jesus. After the upper room experience, and they go out, and now they're going about and doing about the Father's business, taking it out and about. It says here that in this first recorded miracle performed by the disciples, we are given the key for use by all believers and exercising faith authority. We got to know that we have authority. You've been shared this many times. We've heard the stories about authority and what does authority mean. Pastor Hoblett would say it eloquently as far as kind of giving a word picture and an example to look at, and he probably heard it from somebody else as we all hear things of these messages. But the authority, when you have the authority from someone, you don't have to be the biggest. You don't have to be the strongest. You don't have to be the mightiest. You just speak by who? The authority that's been given to me, I say you've got to do this or that. Quickest example is that of the police officer. Back in the days gone by, it was always one of those things that usually police officers of the times were usually the biggest looking guys that could handle themselves, you know. 6 foot, brawny, big. They would go out and take care of a fight. People would stop fighting just because of the size of them. Now you look at it, not everybody is that size, are they? You know? They got smaller stature of height. They have women, and it's nothing against that. But how, you know, sometimes you look at how can a woman go out and enforce the law? Well, she is not doing it in her own natural abilities. She's going out by that ability, that authority that has been invested in, and she took the oath to, and it's by that badge that she wears. It's by the badge that any of them wear in our police departments. It's not their authority. They are just working and have the authority of the whole citizen group behind them. They have the authority of the government behind them. They have the authority of the state or the city, whatever they're enforcing. And that's what we have as we go out and do things, as we go up against things in our life. It's not that I have that authority in myself individually, but I walk in the authority of that of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And that's where it's important to know that. The reason why, you will find that they were very focused on always making sure when they were doing something like that, that they would say, Jesus the Christ, or Jesus Christ of Nazareth. They had to be specific who this was, because the name of Jesus, the name of Joshua or Yeshua, that was a common name back in those days. There was more than just one Jesus, you know? And even today, there's the same thing, you know? There's names out there that could be that similar, so you've got to be specific. You've got to call upon that name who came from a certain region of that country, and Jesus the Christ of Nazareth. Amen. You had to get to the point to say, not just any Jesus, but Jesus. Woo! That's what they said here. Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand, and he lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received what? Strength. Could you imagine? We know if we lay dormant for even 6 months, what happens to our muscles and our ability to get up or be strong, right? And this man has been like that for many, many decades. And if you're not using those things, it's very weak. It's very hard to get going. But here it is. He says, you know, Peter says, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise and be healed. So he reaches out. Now here's the thing. You know, Peter, he's got to have faith because he's reaching out to lift the guy up. So Peter's, but he already knows that the power that he's got there with that of name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, because he knows what Jesus is all about. And it says, and he took him by the right hand and he lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. That is a powerful thing to understand, that when everything works just right, when everything is working and you've called on the name and everything's being powered up there, and it happens instantly, and that's great when that happens, but also we understand too there's times that it takes time for a created miracle to work too. Not everybody's healed like that. Sometimes it's a process, and that's okay. You just have to keep working through it, believing and trusting and thanking Jesus for healing. Hell, thank you, Lord. I know I'm not totally healed yet, but it's coming. I know that you've done the work, and I know I'm going to get better. I know I'm going to get stronger. I know it's going to, you know. It's there, Father. I'm just going to reach out. We had a great story today in the Sunday school hour. And here again, you know, this family went on vacation. They had four children when they went. When they returned from vacation, they came back with three. One had a serious accident, and they ended up having to be taken off of life support, and they died. And this man said, her mother and I prayed for her healing. We prayed that she'd be restored. We wanted her back. But for whatever reason, it didn't work that way. And through the process, they had to work through it, that they had to believe that God's ways were better than theirs, and God understood more than what they did. And they had to release that and understand that and work through that, but yet their faith never wavered. It was a thing that the guy wrote to the Max Lucado, and he says this, faith is a choice. And so today, you have a choice to make. Life is made up of what? Choices. Everything we do every day is a choice. You choose to get up. You choose what to eat. You choose where to go, how to go to work, whatever the case might be. You choose which donut shop to stop at. You know? So life is a choice. Decisions, everything we do. And so this man said, faith is a choice. And we have to rest in that and realize that and understand that ultimately. And I've got to say that even though we pray for some miraculous things, and I believe God can accomplish those miraculous things, I still have to understand that still that God is in control. Wouldn't it be kind of silly for us, somebody is sick, and we just go to pray to God and say, well, God, just kill him. Well, that wouldn't sound very good. Our human nature would be, oh, God, help them, heal them, give them strength in their body, resurrect them, bring them back to their family, bring them back to life. I've never really gone to a prayer time for somebody and said, well, Lord, just take them right now. Be done with it. Don't have time. No, we pray those things because we desire that. And I believe our God desires that too. But then I've got to understand that I live in a world that I don't understand. That I live in a sphere of time and things and God moving and moving and how he's got it all designed and prepared that I don't understand. Do you? There are so many things that I do not understand about God. And I don't pretend to know those things. But I know that deep down inside of me, when I've read his scriptures and when I hear and see and the stories that are told in the Old Testament and the things in the New Testament and the things that Jesus said and shared, but I can stand still with faith and understanding that even though I don't see the end result the way God does, I still trust God. That I still rely upon him. That I remember and hear those words and I hear him saying to the people back in those days, your ways are not my ways. Your thoughts are not my thoughts. And we've got to understand that and believe that and trust that. But we don't give up. We don't throw in the towel. You remain strong. You remain using that authority that you have within you because of who you are in Christ. And you claim these things and you pray these things and you ask God for this. And ultimately, everything we come down to it that I have learned, as I'm sure maybe you have too, is that not my will, but your will be accomplished in this, Lord. And if your will is a little different than what I'm praying, Lord, I pray that you will help me understand it. And if I've got questions, if I'm confused, Lord, confusion is not from you. And I turn that over to you, Lord, and I want a sound mind, and I want to have my thoughts and my mind set upon you, knowing, though, I don't understand why this person maybe died, or why they were in an accident, or why my house was foreclosed on. I don't understand all these things, Lord, but I do know that you are still the God that's in control. And as you stand on that, and as you stand on that, and as you stand on that again, faith is a choice. So this man, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. Woo! Yeah. And all the people saw him walking, praising God. And then they knew that it was he who had sat begging alms at this gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what happened? What happened to this guy? He's been there for all these years and he's coming in leaping and joyfully walking and praising God. Hallelujah. Now as a lame man, I'm probably ahead of myself here where I'm going, but let's just keep going. Woo! Hallelujah. Now as a man who was healed and held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch. And they saw. So when they saw Peter and 12, he responded to the people, men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently at us as though by our power, our godliness, that we have made this man walk? That's the first thing. People will sometimes look to you thinking, what did you do? How did you get them to walk? What did you say to heal them? It is very important, very imperative that we know these things, remember these things, that we say probably what Peter them said. Ooh, wow. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently at us as though by our own power, our godliness, that we've made this man walk? No. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus. Now he's he's kind of zinging them here. A zinger. His servant Jesus, whom what? You delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. Pilate said, I find nothing that you say and wrong with this man. Let him go. Let me beat him a little bit, then, scourge him and then let him out. Oh, no. This servant Jesus, whom you delivered up, in the end of verse 13, you denied in the presence of Pilate and when he was determined to let him go, but you denied the Holy One and the just and asked for a murderer to be granted to you and killed. You killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. How did this man get up and walk? What did you say to him? It wasn't us, but it was this person that you found fault at, that you brought to Pilate and that you allowed to be killed. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong. Amen. And his name, Jesus, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. My goodness. Things were getting stirred up again. Things were stirred up when Jesus was around. And they thought that had that taken care of. And now we're in the books of Acts, and now we're going through this. Now the disciples are out. Now Peter and John are out. This is their first trip out. Now they've healed somebody miraculously, this guy that's been 40-some-odd years lame, and it was by that of Jesus. Peter tells them, it's through not us. Why are you looking at us? It's through that man. It's through Jesus that you guys crucified. Amen. Yet now, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance. Bless his heart. You know, he's coming back at him. You did it, but I know you did it in ignorance. And as this is another great turn of this reading or this story, is because, listen to this. You now, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But those things which God foretold by the mouth of all of his prophets and the Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. I would think if it was me there, Peter, I would just have my finger in their nose saying, you guys did this and you are the blame and I can't believe you. I am so mad. I'll never forgive you. I'll never forget it. But it ain't like that with Jesus. It ain't like it. Even with all that had happened, bless his heart. Bless his heart. Peter says, I know that you did this in ignorance. Do you think today that people are doing the same thing of shouting against that of Jesus and down on Christianity and all these things of mockery and all? Do you not believe they're doing it in ignorance as well? I do. Their eyes are blinded, their mind is seared, their heart is calloused, all these things. But it's out of ignorance. If it could happen and it did back then, it can happen and it is happening today. But the story goes that we win anyway. Okay? But here's what he says. He has thus fulfilled it. In verse 19, repent therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began. But he's saying this, even though you erred, even though you did these things, even though you crucified him, you were ignorant in it. And I'm going to tell you, here's how you can do. Just repent. Repent. Be converted that your sins may be blotted out. Isn't that amazing that the sin that Jesus blotted out for us, his blood that washes our sins away, is the same blood that if those that even hung him on the cross would ask for repentance, their sins would be cleansed and washed away from them. That is the power of Jesus Christ. That is the power and the workings of God that has in the whole mix of everything that God is still in control. Even when the enemy thinks they're winning, they're losing. Now, they might win that first little skirmish or whatever, but at the very end, they lose anyway. But I'm going to tell you, when a person here that is a child of God, if you get sick and you end up dying before your time, say so to speak, you know what? Where are you going to go if you're a child of God? Heaven! Right back to God the Father! What's the loss? Well, those that live here still are lost with the loss and the sorrow not having a loved one here. But then we reflect and we think about where they're at now, in a much better place. You know, even though the person maybe wasn't sick, tragically they get hit in a car accident and they die instantly. You know, they were healthy, they were strong, they had money, they were going to church, they were wonderful people. How in the world could God just allow this to happen? Well, the enemy is out here seeking who he can kill, steal, and destroy. And so the enemy is out here doing those things, even in this area, because here again, and you've heard it and we say it, but we've got to let people understand, this God, the God of this sphere where we're in is that of Satan. We are in his playground. He's having fun with everybody around here, destroying lives, giving people depression, oppressing people, making people sick, doing all these things. And sometimes those people that know just a little bit about God, a little bit about what God is about, the first thing they'll say and they'll hear from them is saying, well, how could God put this sickness on us? How could God allow that car accident? How could God do this? Because they've got just enough understanding of God that God creates everything and God is here and doing all this, but we don't understand that there's a spirit that's out there that's battling against that. And we're there with that. And we're going through this life the same way. Now we go out and we pray, Lord, place angels of protection around me. And those things happen. And when that happens, we're protected. We've heard stories of that where people have said, Lord, just put angels around me to protect me as I'm going through this or whatever. And there's times that we hear stories back where people have said, well, I was going to do this or that, and I just saw like there's five big people right behind these people. Remember that story long, long, long time back about this lady in New York? Was it Dave Wilkerson or something like that? Or whoever was sharing a story about this lady, you know, going down this street late, and these guys came up and they're going to probably rob her and accost her or something like that. And then they left. All of a sudden, she didn't know what happened. Well, they did it again, another time frame, another day or whatever. They finally caught them. And they said, were you the same guys that were going? And this one girl that reported that she was being followed and you guys were blah, 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 getting ready to attack her, but you ran. They said, well, yeah, that was us. And we ran because all of a sudden we saw like five or six big guys behind her. Have you read that or have you something familiar to that? I might be off a little bit. Maybe it was five instead of six. I don't know. But all I know is these guys that were not Christian because they're going to go do something to this girl, but the Lord opened their eyes enough in the spirit realm that he said they thought that she had four or five people around her and she wasn't alone anymore. Powerful things that God can do in this sphere where we live. Just because we're in the devil's playground doesn't mean that God's power is not powerful and still moving and can do things and will do things here. Because he will. Still problems, there's still stress, there's still death, there's still accidents, and I don't know how to explain all that stuff away, and I don't plan to try to explain it away or think that I can. I just have to shake my head with you that are going through that loss and say, I don't understand it either. I don't understand it. But I got to choose my faith. Because faith is a choice. And I'm not going to allow that to waver my faith. If nothing else, it'll strengthen it. If nothing else, I'm going to be more in tune to God. If nothing else, I'm going to say, God, I know that you didn't make that happen. I know that, Lord, there was that wasn't caused by you. And I just have to ask you, Lord, to help us process through this and what it's going to take to get through this. We had talked last week, remember, about, you know, the things in the prayer that Jesus shared those three times, and one of the first prayers that he had prayed, shared with his disciples about his death and upcoming death, is that he said, you know, this is what you've got to do to be my disciple. Bear your cross daily. Bear your cross daily. And he says, if you can't do that daily, you're not my disciple. And we talked a little bit about that, and hopefully you can listen to that online if you like. I did just yesterday. Woo, I couldn't turn it off. Who is that? Woo, where's that word coming from? Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. I'll tell you what. But we don't understand that. But there's times when we have to bear our cross, and I don't understand, and we'll just go through this life. But you know what? My Jesus suffered. My Jesus went through things, and the things that he went through, he felt pain. He wasn't excluded, you know. He wasn't, even though he got whipped, he wasn't pain-free. He wasn't laughing at him. He had the excruciating grimaces on his face and the pain and the sorrow that he had. But all of that, to the cross, to the tomb, to the ascension, to the right hand of God, and even now Peter is telling that, hey, repent. Even though you guys were part of the group that took him and killed him, you can repent and be converted from your sins, and that your sins will be blotted out so that times of refreshing will come. That is the wonderful thing, as you could tell people, just ask Christ into your life. Receive him as your Lord and Savior. It's his blood that washes you, cleanses you from your sin. How many people, when they actually go through that, we call it a conversion or whatever it might be, and they come out and they're refreshed. They're going, oh, the weight of the world seems like it's been lifted off my shoulders. You know, this pain that I've been carrying around for 25, 30 years, 10 years, 5 years, whatever the case might be, it's gone. That's the refreshing that comes from repenting of your sins. Why does it take people so long to repent? I don't know. Sometimes we just have to realize it and just, you know, just for Father. That's what helps with that of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit within us helps us, because he kind of, to me, my Holy Spirit in me is he's the kind of like the barometer within me in guiding my spiritual life, so to speak, and probably is, really it is, you know, that he lets me know when I do something that probably did not set well with my Father in heaven. And if I do that, and all of a sudden I get that feeling somewhere in me, I go, oh, man. Now, it may not happen instantly. It could be like a day later that day, whatever the case might be. I've had things hit me when I've been sitting at home in the chair at 9 o'clock at night or anywhere else. I don't, wherever. You just figure it out. I can't. But all of a sudden, something inside of you just says, gosh, remember what you said yesterday? How you said that, how you handled that, what you didn't do, what you did do, blah, 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 blah. That really wasn't good. You're going, oh, man. Oh, as you begin to think, you go, oh, that wasn't good. I am so sorry. Repent. Quickly repent. Quickly ask God to forgive you. He's wanting you to do that. That's why Jesus was here. That's why Jesus is there for us. That's why the blood is there for us. You know, it's not a one and done thing when you ask for forgiveness from God. I mean, as long as you're here, as long as you're going through life, as long as you got flesh, as long as you got all this stuff on you, you might make some mistakes. Anybody here make a mistake or two? Anybody here walk out of the will of God probably, or didn't do the right thing, or didn't say the right thing? You know, you hold hostility, you hold grudge, you hold whatever for just if it's a millisecond. That's sin. And you know, believe it or not, isn't that something, is even if it's a millisecond that you hold that, that if you don't repent from it, that millisecond can grow to a full second, 5 minutes, you know? Why is that? Because the devil sees that. And he gets in there and he starts watering it. And the devil wants that to grow. Ooh, let that grow. Because then you'll feel like you're not worthy. You'll feel like you've let God down. You'll feel like that God can't love you because of what that happened and what you said and what you thought. Then pretty soon it eats at you, and pretty soon it becomes a wedge between you and God. Quickly repent. Quickly lay it down. Quickly ask for forgiveness. And so as we go on and get through this, my. In 3:6, just refreshing it here a little bit, 3:6, when it said, and Peter said, silver and gold I have, but in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Name of Jesus Christ means the authority. We've got that authority. We've got that power of attorney has been given over to us. Let me read a little bit here what that says. It says here, immediately after the Spirit's outpouring at Pentecost, it is stated many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. As we are reading here in chapter 3, it's talking about that account of the healing of a man who was lame from birth. He was well known by everyone in Jerusalem. And then Peter attributed the healing to no unique human powers, but to faith in the name of Jesus. Verse 16. Note how the invoking of the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth in verse 6 And then if you look in 4:10, 4:10 says the same thing. It says here, "Let it be known to you all and all to the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands before you whole." That's in 4:10. Rings from the apostles' lips the appeals to Jesus' name as the unmistakable Messiah, Christ, who walked as a man among men of Nazareth, is an establishment of his person, his character, and his kingly office as the authoritative grounds for extending healing grace. And it talks about that of the power of attorney. Quickly here, 3:16, when it says, "And in his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." Healing is by the faith in the name of Jesus. In the cultural setting of the Bible, a name could not be separated from the person bearing that name. And the very name of Jesus Christ means anointed Savior. Therefore, Peter is saying that it was the Messiah in all of his fullness who healed the man. Furthermore, the miracle power was not in Peter's faith. It was the man. You reach out your hand and you say, "Get up." Well, that man had to have something to believe, like some kind of faith. Well, okay, he says to get up, I'll get up, you know. And he rises and he walks and leaps and has joy. We're not going to be able to get into the rest of this, because what I found as I began to go through that and you get into chapter 4, it's very interesting, is that here again, and you can take this on your own and just read it, but here again in chapter 4, it goes through that the religious order, they didn't like what was happening. This man was healed. They didn't like it. Why? Because Jesus. Here's that name again, Jesus. And so they brought the guy, Peter and John, before the leadership there and the high priest. They brought him from, if you remember, Ananus Ananus, the high priest, Caiaphas, and all of the family of the high priest were gathered together. They brought these two to them and saying, "What are you doing?" Well, they realized when that all happened, if you continue to read, there's like, 5,000 people, began and were saved and raised up and all because of these things that are happening. And so there's nothing they really wanted to do because here again, numbers of people were growing. The Christianity was developing and developing and growing. And they just said, "We forbid you to do that. Don't do that no more." Don't heal anybody. Don't speak that name, Jesus, And it's a powerful thing to think that, and it's today as well, that if you go out and use the name of Jesus in certain circles and in areas out in society, that'll just rile people up. God they know, the devil they know, Jesus, woo, don't go there. That's getting a little too personal. That's getting really close. Because the power that is where? In that name of Jesus. They deny that power for whatever reason. So anyway, here we are. The authority that we have. I encourage you to move and walk in that authority. And, it's a growing thing. It's a developing thing. It doesn't come overnight, but you can get there. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord.